Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, could I get your names, please?
My name is Selena.
My name is Dario Schwöder.
Could you tell our audience what the purpose of your trip to Nain is?
So, we are on the top-to-top global climate expedition. It took us 16 years to come to Nain. The reason why is that we are on a world record adventure. We decided in 1999 to go to all climates. And as you know, the climate is not only changing in latitude from Nain to the Caribbean, but also in altitude. And to connect all climates, we decided to go to the highest mountain in each of the seven continents and try to do that not polluting the environment. So we just walk, cycle, and sail. And we just sailed into Nain after doing the Northwest Passage. So May we were still in Mexico. And then we sailed up to Hawaii, to the Aleutians, and all over the top to the Northwest Passage. And unfortunately, climate change is already so advanced that first time Furry and Hecla Strait was open, so we were able to sail into Fox Bay and come through Hudson Strait. So we were the first sailing boat doing that. And what we do on this top-to-top expedition is that we explore the top solutions for our climate and our environment. And then we go into schools, like yesterday here in Nain, where we gave a presentation to the high school students and also to the elementary students in the afternoon to really inspire them with what's the positive, what's going on, with all the good projects, people, they really do good things for our planet, and also the beauty of this planet, so that this, especially the young people, understand that we are still on a very, very wonderful planet. And I don't have to tell you that here in Nain. I think it's really paradise here. And so we try to inspire them also to act, and then we have awards and prizes for students. They come up with their own local ideas to help locally. I think when you act locally, you do also something globally. And we were really, really amazed about also the action they put into the cleanup we did yesterday with all the students, some high school students and elementary students. And we were really glad that some of the students, they were able to see the expedition sailboat. It's a very special boat powered by solar and wind energy. So to show a little bit what's possible to do nowadays. That's very briefly what we are doing. Maybe what's a little bit unique is that my wife and I started in 1999, and on the way we got five children. They were all born in different continents, and we used a Swiss Army knife to give birth on the way. So that's our main supporter with Orinox. And we have at the moment Christina and Cornelia with us. They're both helping us. They're teachers, and so we try our best to motivate as many people as possible. And so thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to your audience and hopefully get some more people inspired also to do more for this wonderful planet.
When did you arrive to Nain?
2 days ago.
Yeah, that was on Monday morning. Actually, we would have, maybe when we would be fast, would have been Sunday evening, but we were coming down toward Hebron, and we were anchoring after Hebron in Moss Bay because of high winds. And then we took the inner coastal way to the fjords here, and it was just outstanding. The weather, we saw bears, and the sailing was good. And we anchored in Challenger Bay, and when we got up in the morning, we saw that mountain there, and we just had to climb it. It was so beautiful. So we came in Monday after lunch.
How long will you be here for?
So what do you think, Selena? That's my daughter, the 11-year-old. How long would you like to stay?
I would like to overwinter here, but there's other people waiting for us. But it's a very nice town.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of friends already yesterday here in town. Yeah, we made already friends with Bill and Linda and Sophie and Harry and Barry. So there are so many good people in town. So I think it would be hard to sail off. But we are considering, we go to check out today Oak Bay. to see if we can overwinter already this year. Otherwise, our plan is probably to sail back here to Greenland to do a project there next summer and maybe come then to overwinter here next winter to be a little bit more prepared.
Just out of interest, is your expedition sponsored? Like you said, you've actually been doing it for 16 years, is that correct?
Yeah, in the first place, we worked on the way, so I'm a climatologist and mountain guide, and as long as there are mountains, I have work. And my wife has also a very good job for traveling. She's a nurse, and there's nearly everywhere nurses in need. Then when Selena was born, I told you, and we used this Victorinox army knife, they got involved and sponsored us new sails because it was just after a big disaster we had had in running into a container that was washed overboard in a big storm in the Southern Ocean. And our boat was totally destroyed. And the boat was actually, at the beginning, just the hull, one mast, and three sails without electronics. So we have had only a handheld GPS. And we were able to build it, to get the hull, thanks to a rich climbing customer of mine who told us, look, that's the hull. Now you have to outfit, and when the expedition is over, you have to sell it and give me the money back. So we were, and don't ask me for more, so we were actually really stranded in Patagonia with a broken boat after running into this floating container, and my wife pregnant and no idea how to continue. And I told that also yesterday to the student. When you have a great idea, maybe a business you like to open or an expedition, whatever it is, don't try only two times, try also 20 times. And that was probably really was important at the beginning, that my wife and I, we made a commitment that we said, okay, we try 20 times before we give up. And we saw now so many young people, they have wonderful ideas, great projects in mind, and they just try once or twice and then they give up, and that's just a pity, you know. And so we try to encourage them really also to try 20 times. They made a promise to us yesterday that they try 30 times, so even better. And for us, it was then really the way out was that we were thinking high and we're thinking, okay, let's build now the best boat for the environment. And so we transformed the broken yacht into what you see today here in the harbor, thanks to the internet, actually, that we were able to Skype to companies in North America and Europe. And they were so amazed that somebody's calling from Patagonia asking for solar panels to test. And so the deal was always that we test their products, also for universities, to optimize them, give them feedbacks, data, that they can optimize the products. And so far it worked really well and allowed us then, after 1.5 years of repairs, to continue.
Pretty amazing.
So while you're here in town, where are you guys staying to?
Where do we stay, actually, Selena?
We stay on the boat. That's pretty much our home.
And have you guys had a speedboat taking you back and forth from it, or...?
We have a little dinghy to paddle with. We don't have a motor, really.
And, we stayed with Linda and Bill and Sophie and Harry. So Linda and Bill invited us for dinner. And you have to imagine that we stocked up food last time in Hawaii. That was in end of May. And we didn't have seen a salad since then. And this food, that was so delicious, you know. And yesterday, Harry and Sophie invited us for a soup. And they told us all the ingredients were from here. The fish in the soup, all the vegetables. They have a garden. And I think that's also a good solution, you know. When you start growing your own food and you hunt and fish, then you don't have to fly food and transport food long distances, and you don't pollute the environment, and the food you produce yourself is most of the time much more healthy than the food you buy in the supermarket. I was really impressed about Sophie and Harry, and also Bill and Linda. This food was just so great, yeah.
What were you saying about the meal there, Selena?
Well, we haven't had salad since about maybe Alaska, and otherwise we've always had cabbage. I don't really like cabbage that much anymore. because we've had cabbage every time when we sail from Hawaii to Alaska or from San Diego to Hawaii or something. So it's very great to have a nice salad.
What kind of boat did you go on to get here?
The sailing boat is a sloop, so that means it has one mast and it's captain rigged. So we have two front sails and a main sail, and we do about up to 10 knots when we have really a lot of wind. Normally, cruising speed is probably around 6.5-7 knots. We were really fast coming here because at the first and second rattle here, we were with the current, and that helped us quite a bit. We have also a very small engine in it just to park the boat. We carry about 400 liters of diesel also to heat the boat, but we didn't need to heat much this summer. It was kind of warm. Our goal is that we may get Elon Musk involved, the guy who invented this electric Tesla cars, and hope that we can install electric motor to prove that also in the boating industry you can go in electric. And I think, so my idea is that we can sail, and when we are fast sailing, that we can recuperate energy with the prop into the batteries, that we can use this energy again then in harbors to park the boat. We were really glad yesterday for local help. There was a fishing family came into the harbor with their small motorboat, and we were actually pressed to the pier by the wind, and with our motor we cannot come off and cannot sail off. So they took a line and pushed us out into bay because we were worried that the wind gets stronger. So that was really kind. And after supper yesterday evening, around 10 o'clock, there were some hunters coming back. And we have really a small dinghy, and we are 10 people, big family. And we were able to do all the laundry at Bill and Linda, and also at some part at the recreation center, the new center there. And so we have had a lot of stuff, a lot of food also. And these hunters, they also gave us a lift back to the boat. That was really kind, yeah. That was really neat.
So who all traveled with you guys?
So our volunteers were Merritt, Christina, and Cornelia. Merritt was a marine biologist, and she just came to do water samples for the microplastic. And Christina is our teacher. She just teaches us basically every day we can. And Cornelia, she teaches planes on the boat and helps.
Then it's the family. So our youngest child is Mia, just turned on the 16th. She turned 10 months, and so baby. And so in the first 10 months she did more than 10,000 nautical miles. That's quite a bit. We were in this 10 months, we were I think only 20 days on shore, on land. The rest we were on the ocean. And then it's Allegra. She was born in Singapore. She's now 5. Then we have Noe, born in Darwin in Australia. He's turned 7 in Herschel Island. That's in the Yukon territory. And then we have Andre. So Noe is a violin player, and Andre as well. And so we have a small band. Andre is now 9, and Selena is 11, playing the cello. So maybe when we come once back, we may can give you a small family concert, if you like. Yeah,
be great.
And my wife, Sabine, I think she's really the hero to give birth on this expedition, covering close to 100,000 nautical miles and about 20,000 kilometers on a bicycle and a lot of walking. As a mom with 5 children, I think that's, I'm every day impressed about my wife, yeah.
I think it sounds like a pretty incredible journey you guys have been on. So you're the oldest, Selena.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, it's very cool to travel around the world, to new places and cultures, and just beauty about this planet. And it's also hard to say goodbye to the one we made friends, but it's just cool when you see how it's so different, like the animals from here than like Australia. Like they have crocodiles, we have polar bears. It's just so beautiful and different animals. It's very cool.
Are you going to visit any other communities of Labrador, or have you already?
Yeah, we have been now in Nunavut. I think the first community was probably Cambridge Bay. I think that belongs already to your territory, what I understand. And then we were at the schools there, and then we went to Joya Haven. And from Joya Haven, we went to Fort Ross, and then down to through Hakla Strait to Igloolik. And then, so our last schools, they were in Cape Dorset in Hudson Strait. And there were no people in Hebron, I don't know why. But our intention is to see as many communities more here in Labrador. And we are kind of open and flexible. So when a principal hears that, maybe he can just contact us and we make it happen to come to their community. Otherwise, we probably then sail from Labrador for the south then to Newfoundland, to St. Anthony, and do some more work on Newfoundland before we probably head to Maine and Boston area, where some aquariums, the New England Aquarium and the Mystic Aquarium, likes to have some talks from us. And then I think we probably sail south to the equator towards Bermudas and Caribbean, and then in spring up again. So that's a little bit the next plan, and we have still one mountain to go of the seven. We couldn't manage to climb Mount Vinson in Antarctica, and that's actually our goal, to, after being up here for a while, to sail down to Antarctica again and try that again. So our last mountain was Denali in Alaska, or the bad name is Mount McKinley, so I like Denali much more, the native name. And we were first coming from the ocean, not using a motor, not flying in, to climb that mountain. The first climbers, they did it also not motorized, but they came from Fairbanks, from the north. But from the south, it was first time from the ocean, and it was very difficult. Not so much on the mountain top, but just to go through the dense forest and alders. Once we did only about 1 mile a day, so it was very difficult with the sled pulling, and it was not easy, yeah. But it was very beautiful too.
Have you been to Nepal?
Yeah, so Lina went to the school there, and you made a special experience there, huh? At the Kumchung, probably the high school in Nepal, in the Khumbu Valley.
Yeah, they still had sticks to hit the children if they weren't nice, but I didn't get hit.
But it was also very beautiful. So we were there for about 4 months cleaning up the Everest area, and then also three other mountains surrounding Everest, and then at the end also Everest. So Noe was probably with 5 months the youngest ever in Everest base camp. And from there we cycled then to whole Tibet and then to whole China as far as Shanghai, where we were invited at the World Expo 2010 to give talks at the World Expo there. So cycling, sailing, walking are kind of slow, but I think it's really a natural rhythm where you can make friends, experience really the environment and learn about the culture. When you fly or drive fast, you just miss a lot, I think. And what we had to learn quite a bit at the beginning of the expedition, that we respect nature, that we sail just when nature invites us and conditions are good, and also that we have to take over the rhythm of nature. Means that I think nature is always stronger than we are, and I think in especially in big cities with all the technology, a lot of people forget that. And that's one of our main messages, that people start respecting nature again. And I think when we do, we would have no problems anymore. So I think that's kind of important.
So you've been to Everest. Did you guys go up Everest?
Yeah, we have funded our cleanup there also to bring dead bodies down from the summit area. Everest nowadays is a little like Walt Disneyland, so with a lot of tourists going there and climbing. As a climber, I think there's much more interesting mountains in Nepal than Everest. So technically, it's not very difficult. What makes Everest difficult is when you don't use oxygen. But that can be also very dangerous because your blood is then very thick and you have frostbite very fast. And with the amount of people you face on Everest is that you're in a queue. And for example, on Hillary Step, you cannot overpass. And so with all these tourists, you cannot wait when you're not on oxygen, otherwise you freeze. I have a friend, he's a mountain guide too. He just passed about a month ago when he fell in Switzerland. He was a really good climber. There are 14 mountains higher than 8,000 meters in Nepal. He did 13 with the idea to do Everest, the easy one, let's say, at the end. And he went there, I think, about 5 or 6 times and couldn't climb it. And the reason why was not because he was not a strong climber. The reason was there were too many tourists, and he did everything without oxygen, so he couldn't make it because he could not wait in the queue, you know, and overtake. So
you were saying, as far as the, like, you're basically doing the 7 summits, right?
Yeah.
Is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So you guys are climbing every mountain and every one of the 7 summits, is that?
Yeah. Probably now, in retrospect, if I would not do that anymore, I would probably set up the expedition more to go to the most beautiful mountain in each country. Because you just have a different crowd of people on these 7 summits. It's a little bit, I think, probably becomes also kind of everything to go through the Northwest Passage. We tried to go through the first time, I think, 2013, and we were spent about 2 years in Alaska. We tried 2014, but then our sails were falling apart. We needed new sails, so we had to sail down to San Francisco and so on. But now, this year, I think we were 4 yachts going from Alaska, so from the west to the east. And I don't know exactly how many yachts made it from east to west, but for sure more. And I just got a little bit of feeling like on these big mountains. A lot of people don't go there to enjoy the environment or meet the people, more just to tick it off that they have done it.